Although I think he'll need Ohio, I think somehow he's gonna wind up as the vice president of Canada.
Yeah, I talked with the Cleveland inspector, in fact, he was hanging around my house.
Certify it, stamp it, say this is a correct copy.
Do you want me to do that now or after?
Later. I'm gonna be here tomorrow, so.
You just gotta stay alive.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. President.
Oh, I didn't real, he didn't say anything about it, he just talked about electrical.
Not my uniform, but my hat tonight.
Illuminated. Well, my bigger concern was when they had this huge hole over there.
No, that's not nice.
And they had no protection. And they had, no, protection for the guys in the hole.
I don't think so. The clock is, slow. It's, I think it's just now 8.
Yeah, well, they. Yeah. And they fixed the one side of the street and they restored it. Now it just has to be, you know, planted back in. But the other side is still a mess because of all the electrical utilities that are in there. Yeah, they did. Well, they discovered there was a leak on the, east side. Once they started messing with the thing on the west side. Other than the fact that the guy in the front yard had a geyser.
Rise for the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mr. Braverman?
Here.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Here.
Ms. Perry?
Here.
Mr. Barron?
Here.
Mr. Duber?
Here. So, most of you will notice that the minutes for the November 4th meeting, we've made some changes a little bit in an effort to be a little bit more transparent here. I've asked our wonderful new clerk to add a little bit more substance to the minutes. It's not a complete narrative. It is not supposed to be a, you know, a complete script of what happened and what was said. It's just a quick little breakdown as to the generalities of it. I'm hoping that everybody, I know some people on council expressed good things about it. I'm hoping that nobody on council, you know, really becomes an obstructionist to this, you know, attempt at transparency. So, you know, this isn't, it's not a political dialogue on the new minutes. It's not, it's not intended to be biased one way or the other. It's just gonna be more of a general, I guess, he said, she said, in very general terms. So, hoping that this will fly. But moving on to the, can I have a motion to approve the minutes of the council meeting of October 14th? Thank you, Mr. Klein. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Cluter. Yeah. Welcome.
Yeah.
Are there any comments to the minutes of October 14th? Obviously, October 14th and October 28th minutes are in the old format. There's nothing. If you'd please call the roll.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Duber?
Yes. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting of October 28th, 2015?
I so move.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. I don't think there's really much discussion on that necessary. So if there's none, if you could please call the roll.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Abstain.
Ms. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Zuber?
Yes.
This is really pretty cool.
Sorry about that. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting of November 4th, 2015?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Are there any comments regarding the minutes of November 4th?
Can I be extra utsy and picky under ordinance 2015-31? And I know Mayor Catherine sent this to me, but I didn't see this at the time. It said discussion was regarding the length of time. Probably means the word had. That's it. That's the detail.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments regarding the minutes? Okay. And if you would please call roll.
Mr. Klein?
Abstain.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Abstain.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Zuber?
Yes. Can I have a motion to approve the treasurer's report of September 30th, 2015?
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Perry. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Would you like to come up here, Mr. Barron?
Okay, this report takes us through the three-quarters point of the year, and general fund-wise, we're in very good shape. If you look at the very top line, even though revenues were below expenditures for the month, we're still about $170,000 ahead of where we were at the beginning of the year in terms of the cash balance. And if you remember, we made a temporary transfer of about $25,000 to the 201 fund last month. If you factor that back in, that money will be returned next month. We're actually about $195,000 ahead of where we began the year. To put that in perspective, a year ago at this point, our cash balance in the general fund was exactly where we started the year. So we had no growth at all at this point. This year, we're nearly $200,000 ahead. The main reasons for that are the revenues are up about 2% over, almost 3% over last year, or over our budget, I'm sorry. And they're up pretty much across the board. About the only item that's low is the general property taxes down a bit and the mayor's court. Everything else is up pretty well, all the major funds for all the major sources. And on the expenditure side, we are, if you look at page 9 in the general fund section, we're about 2% below budget at this point. So we're up on the revenue side and below budget on the expenditure side. Are there any questions on the details? No?
Oh, thank you. Don't go too far. please call the roll.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Zuber?
Yes. And can I have a motion to approve the tax administrator's report of October 31st, 2015?
So motion made.
Thank you, Ms. Cluter. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred.
Okay, this report is also very good news. Probably the most important information is in column 4 in the gross taxes collected. If you look at the very bottom there, we are $229,000 ahead of last year at this point. That includes both the JED and the general Orange Village collections. And down below, putting it against our budget at this point, we're about or almost $140,000 ahead. And a year ago at this point, we were 58,000 below budget. So quite a turnaround in the last year.
Is it likely to dip the other way?
Pardon?
Is it likely to dip the other way since we're so far ahead?
No.
In what period of time?
Just going forward in the next however many months.
2 months.
We would hope not. We wouldn't anticipate
that. I just wasn't sure if we're high now that it'll probably end up.
I don't think so. No, it doesn't look that way. If you look at the area around us, everybody last year was down, including Orange. And this year, everybody's up. Not as much as Orange, pretty much. But everybody's up 2 to 8% maybe in the whole valley area.
Okay, thanks.
So.
Any other questions, comments?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Okay.
If you'd please call roll. Thank you.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Duber?
Yes. Moving on to ordinance 2015-28, an ordinance facilitating the financing of public infrastructure improvements for the benefit of the Pinecrest Development Project by Pinecrest Project Partners LLC, by authorizing the execution of a cooperative agreement and various related agreements and declaring an emergency. This is on for third reading.
Did we get the exhibits?
We got the exhibits.
Did we get them all? Okay.
Who's doing it? Bryce, you are? Okay. Take the stand.
Good evening. Price Finley with Bricker and Eckler. It's good to be with you again. This is third reading tonight of the ordinance authorizing the cooperative agreement that is among various parties, including a port authority, which we at this time do believe will be the Cleveland Cuyahoga County Port Authority. But because their board has not yet met to formally approve the transaction, we're still leaving the names blank until they have met, which is scheduled to happen in December. But we do anticipate that will be the Port Authority that will be facilitating the financing for the infrastructure improvements. As you know, there also is the new developer entity, Pinecrest Project Partners LLC, that is a party to the cooperative agreement. And in summary, as I described a couple of meetings ago, this is an agreement that provides basically for the assignment by the village of the TIF revenues that are received from the project toward the payment of debt service on the bonds to be issued by the Port Authority. There are a number of exhibits that have been provided in the week since you had your first reading of the ordinance. Those include a draft of the lease agreement, providing for the Safety Force mini station, as well as what's called a TIF declaration that you would have just received in the last couple of days. That is simply a document that gets recorded on all of the property within the TIF district and provides for all of the provisions of all the key provisions of the service payment agreement and the cooperative agreement with respect to the payment of service payments in lieu of taxes, as well as minimum service payments to run with the land, so that each subsequent property owner who may purchase one or more parcels within the TIF district will assume the obligation to make service payments and minimum service payments as they are allocated to each parcel. So there's nothing really substantively new in that TIF declaration. It's the mechanism by which we have the obligations run with the land to each property owner.
I just had a quick question. I had a question on your schematic.
Sure.
Does the bottom line of the schematic, I mean, I assume that takes place first. The bonds are sold and the bond money is put, that takes place before the rest of the circulation, correct?
Right.
Just put it down there for.
I just use that as a mechanism to show how the money all flows and all right. So forth. But the bonds will be issued shortly after the Port Authority approves its participation in the transaction in December. I don't know what the exact date.
I was looking at it.
Right. Right.
Okay. I thought thought that was it.
Price, under the Declaration of Covenants, I had a question on Section 9, which describes use of the parcels. And if you want to take a quick look at that.
What page? 9?
Section 9, it's on page 7.
Okay.
And basically it refers to a prohibition from converting a parcel to a residential or condominium use that would affect fiscal officers to classify the parcels being used for residential or agricultural purposes. What about, do you need to identify such things as public or institutional use that might change the tax character of a property within that?
So with respect to this provision, Section 9, the purpose of that is to make sure that the property that's within the TIF district continues to be property for which a TIF exemption can be used to capture their revenue stream. And under Section 570940 of the revised code, which is the TIF statute we are using in this case, residential property or property that's classified as residential for real property tax purposes cannot be TIFed.
Condominiums or rental apartments too?
No, the only single-family residential, which would include residential condominiums, but not apartments or multifamily, apartments.
But what about
those? Are classified as commercial for real estate tax purposes, and so they're taxed at the commercial rate. And so the TIF statute is actually specific in stating that that classification does make those apartments, eligible to capture the TIF revenue.
But not that it's necessarily likely to occur, but in the case of an institutional use that could be almost anything.
There's another provision of the revised code that addresses that specific situation. And it was written into the law about, I'd say, 15 or so years ago. Because of concerns about what might happen with respect to someone coming along in the future, a subsequent property owner mm-hmm. coming along in the future and requesting either a tax abatement through a CRA or enterprise zone program, or a use exemption as you had described.
Mm-hmm.
And the amendments to the revised code that were made at that time provide that if the exemption application, the initial TIF exemption application, is filed and signed by the owner of the property, then there can be no subsequent intervening exemption that would supplant the initial TIF exemption.
Okay, so there's no reason to add that any kind of language.
No, because it's in the law.
Okay.
And the service payment agreement mm-hmm. and the cooperative agreement both provide that the property owner is going to file the TIF exemption application. So we'll kind of lock that down that way.
Okay.
These documents.
And by the way, just, I'm sorry, just to be clear, this provision is probably the most important to bondholders who expect a certain revenue stream to be created from this development are relying on the pro forma for that, so they don't want something to change in the future.
Right. Thank you.
Sure.
These documents only apply to the commercial side of the mixed-use project.
Correct.
Okay.
All of the mixed-use project is treated as commercial improvements for real property tax purposes.
Including the residential side?
Because, not the residential piece.
That's what I'm saying.
But the mixed-use development, that what we've seen in the site plans to date,
yeah.
that does include some apartments as part of the development.
I'm aware of that, but my question is just for information. I mean, the infrastructure is going to be used by both sides. I'm just trying to...
Really, the benefit of the infrastructure improvements is to the commercial mixed-use component.
So nobody's going to ever be, say, looking at the infrastructure and asking or suggesting that some of it belongs, in some sense, in the commercial for these purposes or for tax purposes or for zoning purposes, you know. I'm just trying to figure out how do we separate the infrastructure that covers the whole piece from the two.
For TIF purposes, they don't have to be separate. We're not TIFing the residential component. As long as we can conclude, and we all have, that the infrastructure to be financed with the TIF directly benefits the mixed-use commercial, then we've satisfied the revised code for purposes of using TIF for the project.
When we say we all have, we're including the state. I mean, who's going to look at this above and beyond our level is what I'm concerned about.
Well, this is TIF is really a local economic development tool.
So they don't care.
This count, of course they care.
Well, I'm not
this council is the body that spends the time, you know, from a local government standpoint to determine this is an appropriate use, which you have. You did that back in May.
I was afraid of that. Okay.
Anything else?
I'm good.
Were we going to talk about the lease? I didn't have a lot to say. I mean, the only thing, when I read the lease, I mentioned last week, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you, but I had a busy day celebrating Veterans Day today. There were some provisions in the lease that it made me feel like the document was a cross between the lease and a purchase, and a deed, shall we say. Okay. And I was looking at, if I can only find them quickly, I think they were the default provisions, like, what does it mean, the abandonment of the premises by the tenant? I mean, we're...
Stop using it.
But what if we do? We could be... The lease would be, you know, yeah. I don't have a scenario in mind, but you know, it seems like we pay the dollar.
Yes.
For 99 years.
Yes.
We're not going to pay anything else other than our utilities, I assume.
And insurance.
And those are going to be sub.
And what?
Insurance.
Those are going to all be sub metered for our purposes. I mean, we're not going to be having to figure out by looking into some analysis what we owe for gas and electricity and so on.
The only question I think I had was water, because the water was the only thing, water and sewer was the only thing I think there was a question. That's submetered, and gas and electric is clearly going to be submetered.
The others are going to, those utilities are going to be, is going to be based on what? Space or? Because see, we're not going to be, use. Our little spot isn't going to be next to the car wash, is it? I mean, I'm trying to figure out how much water and how much, I mean, is our percentage, what is our percentage of the building against which those will be applied is what I'm trying to figure out.
2,800 square feet.
Water is based on per capita.
Half of it.
A small percentage for sure.
Yeah.
Well, all right, I mean.
And water and sewer, I don't think have taxes on it. Like gas and electric does, and we don't pay those portions.
Okay.
We don't, when the taxes that are put on the utility bills, don't we get a rebate on those? Hello?
You know, it's in the context of shopping center development, sewer and water is pretty normally allocated based on a square footage per capita of the overall building in which it occurs, with some use overlay to it. For example, a restaurant user would be allocated at a higher utilization rate than a inline tenant.
Is that So the meaning the percentages could change based on use once it's established?
Depends on how much you're utilizing.
Yeah, if you're washing cars.
Well, I'm guessing that we're going to be not using too much of those utilities for our purposes, and therefore I don't want to pay too much on them.
I don't know if they're really want to
create. I mean, it's based there. Right?
Well, they do the.
All right. Well, that's
here,
okay.
Here.
So, I mean, all right.
No, there's no reason.
Anyhow.
The
default provision had some concern. I don't see it where it's going to back up on us, but I guess I was just curious about why that language.
Well, but if you look at, and you're right, I mean, there are, first of all, unlikely that we could default since
right.
we don't have very many applications.
Yeah.
But if you look at G2, even if we do default, we don't get dispossessed. And that lease doesn't terminate.
I was
so
hoping not.
We're liable for damages.
We're the police, for crying out loud.
We're liable for damages,
okay,
which
all right.
direct
okay.
damages. So it's a pretty mild default
yeah.
provision.
All right. That's okay.
As it should be.
I can live with it, but I'm
okay.
still curious about it. Okay.
Any other comments? Questions? Thank you. Can I have a motion to pass ordinance 2015-28?
So moved.
Who's that? Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Perry. No further questions or comments? If you'd call roll, please.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Kluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Duber?
Yes.
Yeah. I Love Lucy is a rerun tonight.
Chief's making sure they actually leave.
Yeah, really.
Doesn't want to walk me off or something. The price is going to crap out as well. May I?
Moving on to ordinance 2015-29, an ordinance amending section 143.01 of the codified ordinances of the village. I think it should be of, is it of Orange Village or of the village? Oh, okay. Of the village, and changing the composition of the police department by establishing the position of part-time IT security officer and declaring an emergency. This is on for second reading.
No, we did we want to pass it tonight? Were we worried about it being in effect if January 1st, or it's okay if it's
It does declare an emergency.
Okay.
Well, when
there was that discussion last week about
when
keeping the emergency clause and passing it to someone.
Not on that particular one. Not on that particular one.
But when are we losing the officer
first?
To okay.
Yes, if you pass it next month, it has an emergency clause.
So
five votes would be effective.
So it's fine. Okay. All right. Is there any comments on 2015-29?
28. Or 9.
No,
it's 29. Or 9, sorry.
No. Nope.
When are you going to add somebody? Do you know?
Well, I wish the chief was in here, but I think he's going to start getting a part-timer pretty quickly into the year.
Like as in the beginning
yes.
of the year? Okay.
After
the
first.
Of the
yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. If there's no further comments, moving on to ordinance 2015-30. An ordinance authorizing the property owner by the Cleveland Chinese Christian Church located at 27700 Emery Road to obtain sanitary sewer services from the city of Bedford Heights via the city of Warrensville Heights, requiring that the property owner maintain all sewer facilities constructed pursuant to this authority, and requiring the payment of all costs and expenses incurred by the village in inspecting and permitting the proposed sewer improvement. This is on for second reading.
This was referred to planning and zoning.
Okay.
Did you guys have that?
Okay.
No, we didn't
have
a meeting.
Had a meeting?
We haven't met yet.
We'll have it on the agenda.
We'll have it
okay.
next
Tuesday.
I'm going to defer action on ordinance 2015-30-31 for till the end of the meeting. Moving on to ordinance 2015-32, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to confirmation of council to appoint John R. Morelli Jr. as the backup chief building chief building official for Orange Village and declaring an emergency. This is on for second reading. I know the administration does request suspension of the rules and passage this week. Is there any discussion on this?
Is he at work?
The new man is.
The new man.
This is the backup. This is backup. He helped us out during the 2 weeks that we were without anybody.
Morelli?
He did. And so this creates the mechanism for paying him. But more importantly, when we have to file with the state who our backup is so that we can stay certified.
Okay.
So his workload is essentially driven by by the building official, Mr. Neod?
We won't see John again. In theory, we should. I mean, all these years we never used him before. Just those 2 weeks. But we have to have somebody designated officially to keep our certification.
Well, he may also have a role to play as Pinecrest moves forward in their demands.
Well, that would just be hiring an inspector. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is actually technically the backup CBO.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anybody want to make a motion to suspend the rules?
I'll make a motion to suspend the rules.
Thank you, Ms. Perry. Is there a second?
Second.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Cleaver. Would you please call a roll on suspension of the rules?
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Duber?
Yes. Is there any other further discussion on 2015-32? If not, can I have a motion to pass ordinance 2015-32?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. If you please call roll.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Duber?
Yes. Moving on to ordinance 2015-33, an ordinance amending chapter 1321 of the codified ordinances of Orange Village to clarify that the building commissioner is the chief building officer with authority to enforce the village building code. This is on for second reading. The administration has requested suspension of the rules and passage. We discussed this last week. Is there a motion to suspend the rules?
I'll motion to suspend the rules.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Would you please call roll on suspension?
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Duber?
Yes. Is there any other discussion regarding this ordinance? No. If not, if you could please call roll for passage. I'm sorry, is there a motion to...
No.
Is there a motion to pass ordinance 2015-33?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Cluter.
I just want to check on one point with Steve. We're just changing the language in the part of the code, in this part of the code, not in the entire code.
We are changing a definition so that if there's any question regarding the building commissioner.
Just the building code.
For the purpose of the building code.
All right.
He is the chief building official.
Okay. All right.
If you please call roll if there's no other discussion.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Duber?
Yes. Moving on to ordinance 2015-34, an ordinance approving the editing and inclusion of certain ordinances as part of the various component codes of the codified ordinances of Orange Village, Ohio, and declaring an emergency. This is on for second reading. The administration has also requested suspension of the rules and passage on this as well.
What? It's housekeeping.
Absolutely. Is there any comments, Mayor? No.
This is just routine.
Okay. Is there any discussion? No? Okay. Is there a motion to suspend the rules?
I move.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred. Can you please call a roll on suspension?
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
No. There's no reason to suspend.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Duber?
Yes. Could I have a motion to pass ordinance 2015-34?
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Perry. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Cluter. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I just want to, I'd like to move to take the emergency clause out of the ordinance. I don't see any reason for an emergency clause in a housekeeping ordinance.
The value of it is it makes certain, it gives you the date certain of when the ordinances are enforceable under the village's code. So there's no doubt if the ordinance is passed with an emergency clause and signed today, it will become effective today. If you have 30 days, there is, you know, if somebody writes a ticket the next 30 days, it can't be under the village's code. And if there were a referendum, it would be suspended indefinitely during the pendency of the referendum. So.
Well, to me, that doesn't override the, you know, the purpose of the emergency clause is to bypass the rights of the village residents. And while we're not always overrun with residents looking at the ordinances on a Wednesday basis, I think it's a bad idea to get in the habit of putting an emergency clause in all of our ordinances as they appear tonight. I think it's bad practice, that's all. I mean, there's always a reason to get it done now instead of a month from now. And the reason is, each reason is going to appear to be good, but in the meantime, you're actually whittling away the rights of the people of the village, and when it counts, it won't be there. That's all I'm saying. If you get in that habit, it's a bad habit. Bad practice,
I mean,
in my opinion.
I mean, you discussed it last week too. Do you want to make a motion to have it removed?
Well, I made a motion. Yeah.
Well, then, so are you making a motion to remove the emergency?
I am. Yeah.
Okay.
I said that.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. There are no seconds.
Absolutely.
So. And so, if you'd please call roll on the passage of ordinance 2015-34.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Duber?
Yes. At this point, let's go back to ordinance 2015-31. An ordinance declaring certain real property located, I have a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of the sale of village property, and we're going to invite Russell Grisham and Mr. Zucker. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
Just for the sale of?
Sale of the property. It's the property next to the village hall.
You want to go into executive session?
Yes.
So moved.
Yes. So moved.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Mr. Klein, is there a second? Thanks, Ms. Perry. Please call roll.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes.
Ms. Cluter?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mrs. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
Mr. Duber?
Yes.
You want to go in there or kick everybody out?
There's not that many people. They can go in the hall for a minute.
It's not like there's so many people to kick
Dave,
out.
Okay, Dave, Matt, and
let them go in there.
Yeah, let them go in the other room.
You're welcome. You're welcome to stay.
Hit the road, Chad.
There's not much left.
That comes later, Matt.
Didn't we have a new ordinance with your 90-day extension business? Is that a problem?